Blog Talk Radio.
All right, what's up, guys? Is that Eric? That you, Eric?
No, that wasn't. Hang on.
All right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Can you guys hear me?
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can y'all hear me? All
right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, now we're waiting on Ryan to call in.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Ryan.
All right, hey, Ryan.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't Eric. It wasn't Coffin.
All right.
Oh.
Oh, shit. All right.
So, do it live.
All this chatter is in essence going to be going on to the podcast. Correct. Like, there's really no way to, like, trim the beginning or the ending or anything like that, correct?
When it goes out onto iTunes and probably right after when I send it to Amy, she can change it. But did you put it onto the BCC Twitter or no?
No.
I would just wait till it goes on iTunes to push it out then.
Yeah. Or even since it's not going onto BCC Twitter right now, then the only place that this is going is onto Blog Talk Radio, and no one that we know or really probably cares
for
is looking at
Blog
Talk Radio right now.
Yeah, it's not like we're giving out the link. So I would just say wait to, like, pimp it out until, like, iTunes can, like, edit it and shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, with iTunes, that goes out in 48 hours. We can push it from BTR anytime we want. But, iTunes and everything, yeah, that can be done another.
Okay, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, so from the outline, does anybody have any topics that they want to answer so I can, like, tee it up for you specifically?
Let me pull up that outline again then real quick.
Yeah, like, a little bit both on both, like, Watt and Hardy. Like, basically just talk about how Hardy, like, how, you know, like, we're trying to talk about, should you care if a football player is a douchebag off the field? But, like, Hardy is one of those guys that actually, like, affects him on the field. So we can kind of talk about that. I was going to talk about that.
I wanted to put a point in on that, too. If you guys have ever read my stuff, you know how anti I am with that. But, I mean, you guys can also tee that up for yourselves as well. I'll just put a little input. I wanted to talk more about, like, the training camp and everything as well, and, like, expectations.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll basically just say, you know, if, like, fucking Jerry Jones doesn't want him, then
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, Jerry Jones, I think it was, like, they did an interview with, like, he was, like, legit saying, oh, it's no big deal, he's a great guy, and then now he's just saying, like, fuck off, basically.
Right. All right, well, since we've already, like, since we've just had, like, the chatter on here or whatever, do you guys want to restart this so it is trimmed up at, like, 8, and it'll be the same thing, it'll be live, but we won't put it anywhere, so it'll just be fresh right from there?
I mean,
probably.
I'd rather not sit around for 25 minutes. I feel like we'd have the same problem in 25 minutes.
Yeah, like you said, like, honestly, I'd say just wait till iTunes can edit it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 2 days is just 2 days. Not a big deal. To me, at least.
All right, so are you guys ready to start then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Keep Chopping Wood, a Big Cat Country podcast on everything Jaguars related. This is our very, very first show, so kind of bear with us. We don't really know what we're doing or how this is going to turn out. So it's going to be an interesting ride that you're along with us for. The show's going to be out on iTunes on Thursday. So if you like it and you want us to keep doing it and everything, well, you don't really have a choice because we're going to keep doing it. But please give us good reviews. Rate us and review us. If you're a sponsor down the road and you want to send us money, we'll pretty much hawk anything. I don't think we have a problem with that. And if you want to like tweet and interact, you can interact with the BCC handle. I know we're not live right now, but if you have any, you know, comments or anything you want to send about the show, topics you want us to discuss, we're going to be doing this about once a week. So go ahead and tweet it at the BCC handle and use the hashtag Keep Chopping Wood. I'm going to be hosting for us. We'll see how it goes for right now. I'm Bo, a frequent contributor to Jaguars Twitter. I've written on BCC before, not too much anymore, but, you know, once in a while, this is how I can, you know, still kind of be involved and do Jag stuff. Ryan, our editor-in-chief, is also with us. Ryan, how long have you been the editor for BCC before now? Because I know Alfie's still, like, in charge. But you've been doing the day-to-day, right?
Yeah, doing the day-to-day, doing social for like 3 years now.
Okay, awesome. Hank Jones is also with us. He's a frequent BCC contributor. And then the newest BCC contributor, Zach Goodall. So, Hank, you guys are both on Twitter. Hank, what's your username on Twitter?
My Twitter is at Hank Jones, and then there's two S's in the Jones. There's actually, my name's just supposed to be one S, but Ryan and everything loves to put two S's on it because that's the Twitter handle.
Okay, yeah, right on. And Zach, you're on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah, my handle is at Zach_Goodall.
And Ryan, you're at Ryan Eats Cake, correct?
That's correct. I didn't misspell my name on purpose. I put it on Discord.
So yeah, that's our crew. I don't know if all of us are going to be here every week for it, but a couple of us will be able to be able to hold it down, and we'll try to have guests and stuff on as the show goes on and the season progresses and everything. So I guess for the first our first episode, we're just going to. I mean, training camp is right around the corner. The rookies and the quarterbacks reported today. Just going over like some news and notes though that is Jaguars related. The first one, not specifically Jaguars related, but big to the AFC South. J.J. Watt, it recently just came out that he had a pretty substantial back surgery. Very recently too, it's supposed to hold him out. I mean, they're saying only 8 weeks, but everybody that you talk, like if you follow like the injury report guys on Twitter and stuff like that, they're saying it's probably going to be, you know, more substantial than that. Hank, do you think that this should raise expectations for the Jaguars specifically, or like how this affects the AFC South in general?
Yeah, I think for the Jaguars specifically, just because, you know, like the Texans under Bill O'Brien specifically, they've been like, okay, obviously the Jaguars have had problems with the whole NFL the last 3 or 4 years, but the Texans specifically, like in the division, they just have their way with them. I'm pretty sure they're the team in the division that they haven't, like, they've 0-4 in Blake's career, I think. So I think, you know, with their best player being out, that obviously has to raise expectations. Like, if the Jaguars can't beat them with their, you know, number one player with a bad back, then, you know, where do you really go from there?
Yeah, it totally does seem like that. And Ryan, you're kind of like an older Jaguar fan like me, so you remember back in the '90s when it was like the Titans were just the team that they could not beat no matter what. And then for a long time, I mean, they went back and forth with the Colts and everything. But it's really like Hank's like in the Bill O'Brien era. But for me, and I don't know if it seems like this for you, but it seems like really since like David Carr's probably third year or so. Every time the Jaguars have a big game against the Texans, like a game with implications that mean something, they just completely get the floor wiped.
Yeah, wasn't it the Battle Red? I think it was like the Battle Red game in like 2004 or 2005. That was the beginning of the landslide. And then ever since then, it's for some reason we always underestimate the Texans. We always say, oh, they're just the Texans. But then when we play them and we lose by 30 in week 17, yeah. You know, we lose to, you know, who was it that even quarterbacked against us in Everbank last year? I can't even remember who, because they had like five starting quarterbacks last year. Was that Hoyer?
I think it was Mallett. It might have been Mallett.
God, did we lose to Ryan Mallett?
We might have lost to Ryan Mallett.
But anyway, I mean, to your point, yeah, I'd say for the last, you know, 10 years, the Texans have been that team that going into the season, we've always kind of, you know, looked down upon, and then, you know, we show up and probably 3 out of 4 times we lose. And especially in big game situations, like with playoffs on the line in the mid-2000s. So, you know, yeah, J.J. Watt is going to be out in the beginning of the season, but we don't play the Texans until November. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how it could give us a leg up in head-to-head matchup. Maybe they could lose a couple games early in the season with Watt trying to catch up. But then again, he's like, what, a top 3 player in the league, top 5 player in the league, like, how much time is he going to need to really catch up?
My thing more so is, like, nobody's ever had a bad back, you know? I mean, back injury is just not something that's, like, you know, later in the season they're going to be, like, 100%. It's, like, something, like, he'll be able to get on the field, you know, 10, I think they said, like, by, like, the 3rd or 4th game. So he'll be playing. It's just, I'm not sure if it's okay to expect him to, you know, he's superhuman or whatever. And people like to say, oh, he didn't miss any games with an elbow injury, so who gives a shit? He'll be fine now. But I don't know. I just don't think it's fair to expect that, even though they played him late in the season, that he should be like 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was just gonna say, like, to your point about the elbow, Watt's never had a significant enough injury like this. Like, it's not like your entire body is running on your elbow. Like, it's not like the core of your body is an elbow. So, you know, we'll see.
I think a lot of people just kind of underestimate how much pain is involved in the lower back injury and just like regular every day to day movements that you just do thoughtlessly. And once you hurt your back, like, it's just indescribable pain of even just trying to walk. The person that I've seen it compared to most, I think it was Gene Bramel that was talking about this on the Football Guys podcast. He said, I think Jason Pierre-Paul had a really similar procedure back in like 2013 or something. And Pierre-Paul has said that coming back from blowing his hand up was easier than coming back from this specific back procedure. It ended up being, it was exactly like Watt, where it got done right before training camp. I think he was out for 10 weeks or so, but he said he never really felt right during the season and everything. So long term, I don't think it's going to, Watt is that superhuman that can probably bounce back from it long term, but it's going to be interesting to see how he plays down the stretch of the season, especially like he's probably going to be having to play himself into shape. Cause like I said, it's not like you can go run on a treadmill while you're recovering from back surgery.
Yeah, and, like, speaking of, like, JPP specifically, I remember somebody brought him up, and I, you know, just, like, did a quick Google search or whatever to see, like, the time frame, and I think the first thing that pops up is, you know, JPP has back surgery, and that's 2013, and then the second or third result is JPP still feels something following back surgery, and it's, like, dated, like, a whole year afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on from probably the least likable football player to Jaguars fans, J.J. Watt. We're going to move to, I don't know, Greg Hardy might actually be more, I mean, he is definitely more unlikable than J.J. Watt. But the Jaguars have had him in for a visit. Dave Caldwell, I think he said they were just doing fact-checking. I think that was what his comment was. Made the comment specifically that they were trying to use him as like a, they were trying to they would be projecting him as a bigger defensive end like Ayers, not to play the weak side Leo defensive end position, so more of a strong side end that plays inside on passing downs. So I mean that's what we'd be looking at schematically, but just from a PR standpoint, it would be very, very interesting, I think, for this team to bring somebody like Greg Hardy in. And I've seen a lot of people talking on Twitter and stuff about how Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley were preaching about culture and stuff when they first got here. But from what I remember, they never said anything about having like choir boy culture. If I remember correctly, like Caldwell even said when he first got hired, like we're not, I mean, we'll give guys second chances. We're not looking, you know, we're not looking for angels or things of that nature. Like, was very specific about it because that was a, it was a, that was, it was a big contrasting viewpoint as to what our, the previous general manager, Gene Smith, had. So as far, I mean, there's so many different angles that we can come out with this topic. Like, can you, do you think as a fan, how important is it to compartmentalize, you know, a, the player, you know, as just a player on your team versus the person he is off the field? Is it easy for you to do that and to compartmentalize? Should fans have to do it? I mean, is it the Jaguars' responsibility to not give this guy a job, or is it the league's, you know, responsibility, even though the, he just went through the entire disciplinary process and everything last year? Zach, I know you have some real strong thoughts about this. Like, what do you think? I mean, it doesn't look like a signing is imminent, but how would you feel about the Jaguars going ahead and, you know, offering Greg Hardy a contract?
Well, it'd make me think a lot less of Caldwell and Bradley and the whole front office who would take part in that. I mean, Hardy's a hell of a player on the football field, and they are going for wins, and we all have to understand that, but there really is a limit, and it's not like Hardy was apologetic or made up for his actions. Like Ray Rice, he held press conferences, made statements. He went through the suspension, and it, he at least made himself look somewhat classy after the fact. He can't apologize for what he did, but at least he tried. Hardy never really seemed to, you know, apologize or anything. He just said he's getting past it, and he still stayed – he still seemed to be a bit of a troubled guy last year in Dallas. You know, he would cause a lot of locker room drama, get into arguments with coaches on the field. Like, he seems to be kind of a classless guy. And I personally am very, very against domestic abuse, as I'm sure we all are, but it just kind of holds a special place in my heart. Like, you shouldn't do that. And if you do that, and especially act like an asshole after the fact, you don't deserve a second chance. And he was even given one by Dallas, and he failed there. So I would be disappointed in the move if the Jaguars were to offer him a contract at any point.
Hank, what about you? I mean, do you, you said you had some comments or some thoughts earlier about like whether they could even handle this type of personality, like this specific coaching staff.
Yeah, that's been like my biggest thing. Like, obviously, you know, he's a toxic off the field, but just like speaking like in like a team environment and community, we've already seen him like with a second chance with Dallas, and he kind of latched onto Dallas in their first season that went south in a while. And what was it, like his third or fourth game with the team when he flipped out on that coach on the sidelines? Or, I mean, I can just imagine after the Jaguars, you know, 1-4 start, him trying to choke slam Gus Bradley in the post game show. But I just, if Jerry Jones, like specifically a guy who was like standing side by side with him in like during interviews in the locker room saying, you know, like, I believe in this guy. If they've kind of washed their hands with him in like his redemption shot originally, then I'm not really sure how bringing him to a team who is trying to get over the hump would really be the best idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like you said, if you can't play for Jerry Jones, there's probably, I mean, Al Davis isn't around anymore. There's probably not too many people you can, you know, once you fail one, who else is going to take you in after that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Specifically though, with this team in personnel, we saw them with, on a couple of different free agents, a defensive end, Robert Ayer specifically, like I said, for the same exact role that they were, you know, projecting Greg Hardy for. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about what this means specifically for this team and this scheme going forward. I mean, we know pretty much it's a win now or go home type of season for this coaching staff. But let's say they do have success and they end up sticking around long term, and we're trying to project this defense going forward. What it looks like to me is that the big defensive end is kind of starting to get, phased out in the team's plans going forward. I think that they know and they're aware of that they need more pass rush. They say that they like the young pass rushers on the roster, and I believe them, more power to them and everything. But I think that they know, whether they come out and say it publicly or not, their actions speak that they know that they still need to get a better pass rush. They still have too many heavy pass rushers. They don't really have any edge presence besides a couple of rookies and Dante Fowler, who's essentially a rookie coming off a torn ACL. Do you think that they're just going to ride, Ryan? Do you think that they're just going to ride with the group that they have now? Or do you think they'll be, I think they'll be looking for cuts, but do you think that there's any veteran that could be on the way? And do you think that, what do you think that this really means for Jared Audrick going forward?
Well, I mean, Jared Audrick, they set up his contract specifically so that there's no guaranteed money after 2016. So they were like, Jared, this is a 2-year experiment. We'll kind of see where it goes. And I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Jared Audrick because, to your point, schematically it looks like they are trying to get the young pass rushers. They're trying to get more edge rush. But Gus Bradley has been pretty stubborn in terms of changing his defense, like, at all. Like, it's just plateaued for the last few years. And so, like, to your point, they need more edge rush. I could see them changing, but the personality of Gus Bradley or the, football acumen of Gus Bradley kind of prevents him from evolving it any further. So, I mean, I really don't know what they do with Audrick. He probably is gone after this year just because of the way they set up his contract and, with all the defensive linemen they brought in this year, I can't see at least one or two of them outperforming Audrick. So that's kind of where I see it going. In terms of a veteran coming in, I was actually talking with Hank in the DMs this afternoon, and I don't want to spoil any hot takes from Hank. So if he wants to kind of throw a name out there, I want to let him.
I mean, I have no idea, like, any, veterans allowing the league are going to be cut. I'm not, like, following all these teams or whatever. But I think the Miami Herald did a big piece. Like, Deion Jordan is due a roster bonus on, like, the fifth day of training camp or something, like, if he gets reinstated. And they're basically saying, like, they have to – if he gets reinstated, they have to make that decision, like, right away whether they want to keep him around or not. And it seems like half of their, like, decision makers are, like, we have this guy who really, he has potential and we don't know what we have him yet. Let's keep him around. Then the other half are saying he has as many sacks as he has, career suspension. So what are we really doing fucking around with him, basically? But I mean, just like in comparison to most like offseason, like defensive ends off a scrap heap. I mean, just look at the Jaguars. They brought in freaking Bajon Warner a few months ago. I mean, just comparison to guys like that. I think Jordan would be pretty appealing as a off the scrap heap type guy.
And if it's not Jordan, if you look at next year's free agency, I mean, Chandler Jones, I think, is a free agent next year, and they tried to trade for him in the offseason. So, I could see him being a target if they don't, find some diamond in the rough this offseason.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think, and just kind of Alfie and I were just kind of going back and forth on this on Twitter earlier today, that it just, and like how you mentioned the way with Audrick's contract is set up, it just seems like even they might just ride in with a bunch of pieces here. And like I said, a bunch of the pieces are really similar up front, but it just looks like the way that the roster is constructed, that they're going to do, they're going to be reinvesting again in defensive line pretty heavy, whether it's free agency and draft, probably both coming up this next offseason. So, for kind of forget next offseason, because right now we have like training camp is literally starting. Rookies and quarterbacks reported today. The veterans report on Wednesday, and camp actually starts on Thursday. Everybody, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody is cleared for full participation. Fowler has full clearance, and Sanderic Marks has full clearance, Jalen Ramsey has full clearance, Miles Jack, I believe, does.
Beecham.
So, yeah, everybody's kind of, Kelvin Beecham. So it looks like everybody's ready to go. I'm sure that knowing the Jaguars, that will not last for very long. We will see something will inevitably happen in Jaguars fashion. It seems like that's a tradition like no other. The very either training camp or very, very early in the season, we always have something, wonderful happen to us. Do you guys think that who wanted to talk about rookies? I think Zach, you did, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, like, the expectations for some of these guys going in, whether it be rookies or some guys that are trying to make strides from last year, free agents. Like, I know everyone's really pumped up for this season and everything, but this training camp and preseason itself is going to be huge. Like, we've got – with all these guys coming in and really trying to mesh together, it's going to be fun to watch, and I think people are more excited for the regular season than they when they should be excited for, like, everything. Like, all these battles that'll be going on with Luke Jokel and Kelvin Beachum, like, that's going to be a huge deciding factor for the entire offense, and that's going to take place in the next couple weeks. So, with, you know, the progression of Jokel to see if he can beat out Beachum, I mean, if you look at Beachum in his time with Pittsburgh, he was an all-star, and he was only getting better because he came in as a seventh-round pick, made a name for himself, and was starting his second year. And if it weren't for his ACL injury, he'd still be in Pittsburgh as a starter. So I'm really excited to watch that battle in particular. There's, of course, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, those guys coming in to really, like, fix this defense, and free-agent additions like Tashaun Gibson, Malik Jackson. Like, those guys meshing together in training camp are going to be extremely important for when we actually get to the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's really, really excited to see the rookies come in. It's going to be interesting to see how fast, because there's so many new faces on defense, to see how fast everybody gels. It's going to be really – I'm really interested to see. I mean, I'm obviously I'm not there to watch, like, training camp practices and stuff like that, but just through the preseason, seeing how the young defensive ends do. Fowler, Holmes, the he's from Montana, right, Hank?
Yeah.
Tyrone Holmes.
Yeah.
I'm actually really, really interested to see how that dude looks. And then there's a bunch of position battles too. I mean, not a ton. It seems like some of the some talent is starting to level out. I mean, it's wide receivers pretty much settled, except for, I mean, Marquise Lee and Rashad will probably battle it out for that slot position. But it's not like we're anybody. There's going to be a quarterback competition or anything like that. But there are a few, like, super, super key position battles. Zach went over at left tackle with Luke Jokel and Kelvin Beachum. I have no idea what's going to be going on with left guard. There's a million different possibilities of how that could end up shaking out. Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon, that running back. And then strong safety is the last one, right?
Yeah.
Cyprian and Sample. So that's going to be, I mean, kind of – pick your poison with that one. We'll see if one. I mean, I think we pretty much. Sample hasn't played that much, but I think we pretty much know what we got. Yeah. What we got going on with Cyprian.
Ryan, what was that one Q&A question last week? It was like, do you think Cyprian is going to get a contract extension after this year or something like that?
Oh yeah. Well, you DM'd me. You're like, look at this. I think you DM'd me from the Google Doc, the submission form, as a joke, and I was like, you have to include that. Like, you have to put that. Because
yeah, it was like, what kind of contract do you think he'll get?
I think he'll get the veteran minimum from Cleveland or something. Like, that's what I think he'll get.
He set himself up for a nice long-term quality special teamer contract with somebody.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ryan, left guard. What do you think is going to end up happening there?
Well, firstly, Zane Beagles isn't going to happen, so I'm pretty pumped about that. And yeah, I like, you were talking about how there's like a million possibilities at left guard, and I was like, hey, one of them's not Zane Beagles, so you know we're already improved from last year. I think
Ryan, you're a Jaguars fan. You know it can always get worse.
Stop it. I've literally been knocking on wood this entire podcast because it's been fairly positive. So I think Luke Jokel is the odd man out. I think Beachum gets the left tackle spot. I think Bernadou gets the left guard spot. And I think Jokel, like, I don't think he's good enough to play tackle. I don't think he's physical enough to play guard. And I think he's put on the trade block in the preseason.
Yeah, we'll see if they can get anybody to bite for that. You know, if he ends up not starting at either position, though, what they might be able to do with him is say that they, you know, he can back up three different spots. They can and then use that roster spot, you know, one that would they would be using on a backup, you know, offensive tackle or guard. They can say, all right, we have this swing guy that can play left and right tackle and maybe guard in a pinch too, and then that frees up a roster spot somewhere else.
Right, Caldwell's always
that might be like
guy to. I was gonna say Caldwell's always been the type of guy to like not let a guy ride. Like I'm thinking of Eugene Monroe. Like instead of just letting him ride into his last year and knowing I'm not gonna re-sign this guy, just trying to recoup, you know, some sort of mid-round pick from him and letting, you know, whatever value he could be as a backup or a player kind of just be a wash that season. So, I don't know. That's the only reason I say that.
Yeah. And honestly, like, he's a guy I think, like, you know, everybody's like, you know, nobody's going to trade for Luke Jokel. But if, like, a tackle goes down in camp, you know, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility somebody will be biting. I mean, you know, of course,
somebody traded
been...
for Blaine Gabbert. I mean,
yeah.
Blaine Gabbert is going to start for the team that traded him. So crazy, man. I still can't believe that they actually got a draft pick for back for Blaine Gabbert. That's insane.
He beat the Falcons, so. What was that tweet? They were like, we want him to start off against, like, an easy defense when his first start was against the Falcons. And the Falcons' Twitter account said, oh, ? Can he end up, like, scrambling for a touchdown?
Yeah, the Falcons run by Gus Bradley's brother, Dan Quinn, our sister franchise.
And Dave Caldwell's son, Thomas Dimitroff.
That's right. That's very true. A lot of connections to Atlanta. We have, like I said, sister franchises. Both two franchises in, that have been, you know, a lot of sports of misery. But, I mean, I guess the biggest position battle would probably be at running back, even though, I mean, is it really going to matter? Hank, do you think it's really going to matter either way who's the starter? It seems like they're pretty much going to ride the hot hand, I think.
Yeah.
I think, and they both have pretty specific designated roles, I think. They're both good at vastly, vastly different things.
My thing this entire time, and I haven't really gone into this as much as I've wanted to yet, but like you said, they're just going to start off riding the hot hand, probably, you know, rotating them outside of specific situations. Like Ivory's going to come in for goal line and short yardage, but I think once a guy, like, establishes and, like, sets himself apart, I don't think they'll be afraid to just, you know, hand it over to him and not look back. And between the two of the guys, I think Ivory, whether it's, you know, early in the season or in camp or later down in the season, if one of these guys is going to, you know, do something to make you want to hand him the keys and run away with the job, you got to think it's Ivory, because Yeldon's entire strength is he's going to keep you on schedule. And he's going to get you 3- and 4-yard gains and not get stuffed. But he's not going to be, you know, the game breaker or whatever. He's not going to have many games where you're going to, you know, want to make him like the feature of your offense. So I think it's going to be basically 50-50 until Ivory establishes that he's just the way to go at some point this season.
Yeah, I think strategically that makes a lot of sense, especially kind of riding Yeldon early in the season because he's such a he's such a good receiving back. He's very, very good at catching the ball out of the backfield. We saw that kind of, you know, get displayed last year, and I think that it'd be kind of one of the biggest home field advantages the team has is their heat is the heat at in Jacksonville earlier in the state, and you know you run more up tempo stuff, more shotgun stuff, throwing the ball a little bit earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Going no huddle, trying to tire the defense out. And then as it starts, you know, getting cold, injuries happen, defenses are tired and worn down as the season goes on. That's when you bring the sledgehammer out in Ivory, you know, kind of in a similar way to how New England has always had like a very fresh LeGarrette Blount to just start hammering people with like once November and December comes around. So, I mean, that's how I would do it if I was making the decisions, strategic decisions like that. If somebody wanted to pay me to do that, I'm available anytime. But yeah, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see just kind of how that backfield shakes out and how those touches end up getting divvied up. I don't think any guy is really going to be, you know, super fantasy relevant, but crazier, weirder things have happened. And I think that's pretty much it for our very first episode. Does anybody have anything that they want to wrap up or close with, closing comments or thoughts or anything?
I think I'm good.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I'm good.
Yeah. Thank you for everybody that listened and dealing with some of these horrible transitions with our first episode. Like I said, kind of keep riding with this. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out the best formats that works. You know, we'll have once we get into the meat of the season, we'll start, or the meat of training, we'll start doing, you know, season breakdowns and previews and, you know, looking up at the upcoming opponent, having guests on, recurring weekly segments and things of that nature. So, please subscribe, on iTunes, give us good reviews, 5 stars and all that, like us. And remember too, that you can tweet at the Big Cat Country handle and use the hashtag keep chopping wood, you know, for suggestions, comments, letting us know how terrible the show is and what we can get better at, because like I said, it's going to be kind of rough at first, but I think down the road we're going to be having a good show. Also, I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, Alfie is going to be doing like his own little daily segments.
He plans on at least a show a week. I knew that.
Okay. So yeah, Alfie's going to be, you know, putting out content. Follow all the guys that write at Big Cat Country. They all do great work. And we will see you guys next week.